Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And right now, Jared Sandler is joining us on the BuyerSafety.com hotline, our Ranger insider. What is your status for the wiffle ball game on Saturday?
I believe I'm playing. If the rain stays away, then I'll be there. Thankfully, there's an 8:05 start to the game. So, Gavin and Tim have been very gracious to make the start time accommodating. So I hope to be able to play. Should be a lot of fun.
Why should we draft you with our first pick over Mike Bacsik?
I mean, he's a Major League Baseball player. I can't compete with that. But okay. I don't know. This is wiffle ball. It's not Major League Baseball. I'm out there to have fun.
Going to tear another ACL. Will your knee, is your knee 100%? Because this is kind of a turf field.
Yeah, my knee is just fine. I've been playing basketball now for a few weeks or a few months, and I'll be playing some tennis with Sean later today. Hopefully we can get Roy out there as well. But did I hear that Roy's not playing on Saturday?
Yes, Roy is out. He is in Montana.
Whoa, where in Montana?
Does it really matter?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I lived there for a summer.
Whoa.
Well, look at you, fact. Mr. Cowboy.
Yeah. What's the airport there called?
Well, I was in Great Falls, Montana. I imagine there are multiple airports in Montana, and I don't remember what the airport there is called. Why?
No, just one.
I want to say that the airport there, if I remember correctly, and I thought this was really funny because Great Falls is like a small town where there's nothing to do. I want to say it was Great Falls International Airport.
Okay, there you go. The more you know. Should be fun fact. Yeah. Jared Sandler, Rangers insider. What stood out to you? What were some of the things that jumped out during the 7-game winning streak that got snapped yesterday?
Well, I think, first of all, even though Elvis wasn't really a big part of that in terms of production, you looked at the lineup, and for the first time maybe since opening day, they kind of had a healthy lineup. It's amended a bit because I don't think the opening day lineup had Ronald Guzman or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa part of it. But you looked at the lineup, and I think for the first time for a few of those games, it didn't look like a total patchwork lineup. And that lineup is starting to produce, and they're not necessarily doing it in the way that we've seen Rangers lineups do it in the past couple years. They're doing it with a lot more patience. They're walking a lot. This team's walked more than anyone else in baseball over the last month and change, and it's not even close. They're coming up with timely hitting. They had that game where they were 1-for-17 with runners in scoring position. I believe it was during the last homestand, and since then, they've been really, really good with runners in scoring position. So that's helped. And with the exception of a game, this bullpen just remains the most consistent unit on this team from start to finish this year. There was a stretch, I think, in late April where the bullpen seemed to struggle, but I think we can chalk that up to the fact that starting pitchers were going 4 to 5 innings. They were getting overworked, but since they had the ability to reset, the bullpen's been really good, and so that's also been a big part of this.
You mentioned the bullpen because there was an article on ESPN a couple of weeks back that this was like the fourth best bullpen in Major League Baseball at the time. In terms of several different metrics, but how different is this bullpen going to look in 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could look very different. You got Jake Diekman, who's a free agent to be. It seems like it's a lock that he'll get dealt, especially with how well he's been pitching. You got Keone Kelly, who's not a free agent to be, but presents a ton of value. And closers are great, but a closer on a team that's not competing for a playoff spot and might not compete for a playoff spot next year doesn't have nearly as much value as a closer on a team or a late-inning reliever on a team that's trying to go and win some hardware. So, it's one of those rare situations where Keone Kelly's got more value for another team than he does for the Rangers. And if you're in a position to sell, that's advantageous. So, I think at the very least they're going to explore that. And then, you never know with some of the other guys. You can't just trade your whole team away. The Rangers have a number of players who they could trade, and they'll trade some of those players. But, I'm not sure if they would trade a Jesse Chavez. I don't think you're going to get a lot back for him, but he is pitching really well. And so maybe there's a team that has interest in him. But I definitely think that from a power arm in the back end of the bullpen, point of view with Kellen Beekman, you're probably going to be without those guys on August 1st.
Let's go ahead and have a little fun of ranking or stacking the trade chips. You can throw in Adrian. Now, Evan Grant, Dallas Morning News, said Adrian Beltre is available. Diekman, Keone Kella. We all knew that that was coming, but Evan just put it out over the weekend. So whether it's Hamels, Beltre, Chu, Kella, how do you rank the most attractive pieces in your mind for the rest of the league looking at this roster?
So in terms of, like, if you just traded each player by themselves, what sort of return you could get, you know, I go back and forth as to who's more valuable, Hamels or Kella. And the reason why, you know, I'm sure people are saying, well, of course Hamels is more valuable. He's a starter and whatnot. And he is having a good year. But Kella's a late-inning reliever who you have under control for the next, you know, 3 years, essentially. Mm-hmm. I'd still probably, I guess, give the edge to Hamels because he's a World Series MVP. He's pitched on the East Coast in a, you know, one of those high-pressure media markets and has had success. Maybe teams would value that. But I wouldn't be surprised if you asked teams and they said, yeah, you know, we'd give up more for Keone Kella individually than we would Cole Hamels because, you know, of how valuable relievers are these days and the fact that he's cheap and under control. When we're seeing in free agency, despite the fact that, you know, some guys aren't getting paid a lot, we saw a lot of position players this past off season maybe not make what we would have expected. Relievers are still getting paid, and they're going to get paid. So I'd say those two are out in front. And then, you know, I guess with the way Adrian Beltre's looked here of late, you know, he just seems to be moving better. That might put him in the three spot, though. You know, Jake Diekman's another guy who, you know, free agent to be, pitching really well, left-handed reliever. He definitely has value. I've started to think, guys, with Chu, you know, a lot of people have asked, well, what can the Rangers get for Chu? I've started to think that there's a chance that the Rangers, instead of trying to get someone to eat a small portion of his contract, they're just going to eat his contract and try and get a prospect back in return. So, you know, I think that Chu would probably slot in from a prospect standpoint right behind. You know, I think like a guy like Jesse Chavez doesn't really have much interest more than like a player to be named later or something a little bit better than that type. And who am I forgetting here? I feel like I might be forgetting someone, but those are the guys.
Shields, maybe?
Yeah, no, you know, we brought that up on the postgame show yesterday. I don't know what sort of return you get for the Shields, and I don't think a team would look at him and say, yeah, we need a starting center fielder. The Shields is our guy. But, you know, as you guys know, playoff teams are always looking to fortify their benches or their depth, and I think the line of the Shields could be, you know, a tremendous asset as a fourth outfielder, a guy who you can obviously use off the bench for speed situations. But if that's the case, you know, the Rangers look at him as their starting center fielder. That might be one of those value imbalances where the other team just doesn't value them nearly as much as you do. And so does it, you know, is it worth it? You know, so that'd be an interesting guy. But I bet there are teams that call on Delino, right, especially with the fact that, you know, he's a good on-base guy. He's only hitting .230, but he's getting on base about 33% of the time. So I'm sure teams will call on him. And, you know, as you guys have seen, he's much improved defensively, which certainly helps his value.
All right, Jared, in terms of the Beltre value, all right, not even the value, but just the options out there. We've heard Philadelphia, but, you know, would he accept a trade as a 10-5 guy? Would he accept a trade to a team that really isn't a front runner for the World Series? I don't know of a lot of American League teams that are in the conversation for the World Series that necessarily need a third baseman. So where do you think, you know, his options would lie?
Yeah, you know, I think in a perfect world for him, you know, one of these teams that we look at as, you know, a favorite would have a need for him, whether that's the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Astros over on the American League side. And really, guys, on the National League side, I mean, the waters are kind of muddied. I guess maybe you could look and say that, you know, the Cubs are a favorite just based on track record. You know, the NL West is totally up in the air. And the NL East, you got a couple surprise teams, with the Nationals being the team that, you know, had the most backing before the year, but then you got the Braves and the Phillies, both of whom, by the way, could use the third baseman. I think that the team that, you know, I'd be curious if Beltre would want to go to a team that was maybe ahead of schedule like the Braves or the Phillies. You know, I would put those teams like the 2010 Rangers, where you knew good things were coming, you just didn't realize it was going to happen that year. Maybe the perfect situation for Beltre, when you look at how good their starting pitching is, would be Cleveland. It would allow him to DH. And, you know, what Cleveland would do is they'd move Jose Ramirez to second, for the struggling Jason Kipnis, and that could open up third base for Beltre. But, you know, even Cleveland, if you were to power rank the teams in the American League right now, you know, that's the fourth best team. And they just haven't been able to get going. Their bullpen has really struggled. So, you know, the one dangerous thing with Cleveland is that it does seem like they've got some key contributors who are going to be going elsewhere in the next couple years. And so they might feel more of a need to go for it this year. But, you know, that'd be like trading LeBron. You know, saying LeBron wanted to go play, you know, for a contending team and trading him to, you know, the fourth or fifth best team in the West. And unfortunately, whereas that comparison, as I realize, doesn't make any sense because LeBron would make the fourth or fifth best team in the West the best team in the West. I don't think Beltre's got that power with the Indians.
Rangers insider Jared Sandler, buyersafety.com hotline. Where do you think things will go with Elvis?
As far as getting traded or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think before the year, I told you guys that was the most intriguing storyline to me. You know, do they trade Elvis or not? And I'm just starting to get the sense that it's just not going to happen. You know, for similar reasons we just kind of laid out with Beltre. I don't think that there are contending teams that really have a need for a shortstop. You know, they're all pretty set in those spots. The teams that need shortstops are the teams that really aren't contending for anything, you know, with the exception of a few. And I'm not sure that Elvis opts out anymore. You know, I think we all looked at this as a done deal, but with the way the market shifted, you know, I don't think Elvis opts out. I think that, you know, one of two things happen. I think Elvis either opts in or, you know, doesn't opt out, or the Rangers work out some sort of an extension where they simply add years to Elvis's deal at some point. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, I thought that it was a 50-50 possibility and that they would definitely explore those options. And I'm sure that, you know, they're not going to hang up the phone if a team asks. I just don't know how many teams are going to ask about Elvis because, you know, you look at, like, the Astros, they've got Correa. The Indians have Lindor. The Mariners have Segura. The Angels have Andrelton Simmons. The Yankees have Didi. The Red Sox have Xander. So that's just the AL. And over on the NL side, there's a little bit of need, but, you know, not a ton. So I just don't know that the Rangers – I don't think that the Rangers are going to end up trading Elvis, whereas a few months ago, I might have thought that the possibilities were much broader.
What's the value on Profar right now?
Well, you know, I think the value on Profar is higher now than it maybe was or ever has been since, you know, he was that up-and-coming prospect. But the problem is, I don't think that a team looks at Profar as, you know, as a shortstop. You know, I think teams look at Profar as a utility guy. And so that kind of knocks down the value a bit. If they looked at him as a starting shortstop, I think that, you know, that would improve the value. But, you know, they'd run into the same challenges. Teams really aren't looking for shortstops, but teams certainly could be looking for utility guys. I think if you're the Rangers, though, there's a chance that Profar is your starting second baseman next year, though Ruby has shown a lot of progress over the last month. And there's a chance that Profar is your starting third baseman next year. And so I think for the Rangers, as they, you know, as they are going to make some moves, they also have to prepare themselves to put out a competitive group next year, the rest of this year. And, you know, maybe they look at Profar and think, yeah, this guy could be a part of our future. And so maybe that would deter them from trading him. Because I just don't think – I think this is another one of those situations where Profar is at this point – and it's crazy to say this, but at this point, Profar has more value to the Rangers, I think, than he has to a trading partner. And that, you know, whenever that's the case, when I value my guy more than you do, then, you know, it's awfully tough to come to an agreement on a deal, you know, in these situations.
All right, Jared, take us through the situation over the weekend with Paul Molitor, you know, with Jerks and Profar playing hard still in the fourth inning, which is still very, very early in a 9-2 game. Take us through that situation. Do you think the Rangers would retaliate when the Twins come here?
You know, I don't know. I think that, you know, I asked a few people about, let's start with the retaliation, and their response was, if Profar's cool with it, then there's no need. No, let sleeping dogs lie. Not a big deal. The Rangers were playing well. If Profar had an issue with it, then I'm sure that there's a chance that something gets done. I do know that the Rangers were absolutely furious with what Paul Molitor said. And for people that, you know, RJ, you just kind of laid it out a little bit, but, you know, the Rangers were up 9-2 in the fourth. Profar stole second. The Twins took exception to that, or Paul Molitor took exception to that. And then in the seventh inning, Jerks and Profar was hit by a pitch. It was awfully clear that they were throwing at him. And then Paul Molitor yesterday even said, you know, we were throwing at him because we wanted him to be able to steal more bases. Kind of a smart-ass response. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, first of all, what's crazy is that the Twins were one swing away in the ninth inning from tying the game or winning the game. So you know, it just doesn't seem like it's fair or right to get pissed at the Rangers for trying to win while you're trying to do the same thing. And so the Rangers can't play hard to try and, you know, close out a win, but, you know, you can play hard and try and come back and win. Like, it just makes no sense. If it was the ninth inning or the seventh inning and the Rangers were up 7 or 8, 9 runs and they weren't holding the runner on, that's different. But this is the fourth inning. There's still more than half the game left. And, you know, I don't know that the Rangers would come out and say this, but I will. It's not like Max Scherzer was on the mound for the Rangers. You know, with all due respect to Giovanni Gallardo, you know, I don't know that he's a guy that you look at and are 110% confident that, you know, he's going to just keep cruising. And so, you know, I just thought it was ridiculous. And, you know, some of these old school unwritten rules make no sense. But what's crazy about this is I spoke to a number of players. We had Jeff Fry calling the postgame show after the game, Bassick yesterday, and a few other players who would definitely fit the old school mold. And they all were like, I don't get it. I don't understand what Paul Molitor was doing. There was some thought, guys, that on Thursday, when one of their best players, Eduardo Escobar, got hit by a pitch against the Red Sox, and Paul Molitor did not order them to retaliate, that he lost the clubhouse. And this was some move to try and curry favor back in that clubhouse. That's the only thing I can think of that would make any sense at all. But even that's kind of dumb. I mean, it just, you're up by 7. Yeah, that's a lot. That's, you know, that's a big lead, and you don't often blow 7-run leads. But in the fourth inning, that's not insurmountable at all. And it just seems ridiculous that you would expect the team to take their foot off the gas pedal in the fourth inning.
Thank you, brother. Good stuff. I'll see you in a few hours, and we'll discuss your availability of being drafted by us tomorrow for the wiffle ball game.
Is this my pre-draft workout?
Yeah.
Essentially, it is. I'm taking Sean's word for it. I'm unable to attend this workout.
Yeah.
But
do we really believe that you're the best to assess, RJ? Mm. Who's the dental manager of this team?
Oh,
well,
good question.
Look, if we're talking baseball here.
Your wheelhouse.
This is what I do. This is more my wheelhouse. Golf and baseball. All those other fringe sports. I'll let Sean handle those.
All right, Jared. Right. I'll see you in a little bit. Thank you.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.